have strong levels of testosterone and balanced energies of estrogen in the body.
And one of the signs that your testosterone is low, to what you're saying, another little miracle around testosterone is testosterone makes you enjoy challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Testosterone makes you enjoy getting punched in the mouth, so to speak, and overcoming hard things. So if you have, if your place of comfort and low resistance and low challenge, and you've been there for years or too many months, I would bet that it's testosterone levels.
Right. Yeah. The Dad
Hours Podcast. Mindset, heart set, body set, and spiritual set.
We can be stronger for our families and our communities.
All of this, I think, also helps with stress regulation. I want to tee this up with saying there was an interesting Native American belief. The Lakota tribe believes that when you cry, you release stress, right? And then there is a science to back that up, that actually the release of tears is actually stress hormone leaving your body. And I said, well, over the last, you know, X amount of years, I haven't cried a lot, but I have fucking sweated my ass off a lot.
Right, right.
And so I was like, I think that has the similar effect. When you're sweating, you're releasing stress hormone.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And so maybe, you know, as far as masculine, femininity, whatever, I think that a lot of my stress regulation has come through physical exertion. Right. And doing hard things and challenging myself physically over and over and over repeatedly, right?
Yeah,
so that's always been a big part of my stress regulation practices. Like, it's hard to be angry when you've done, yeah, and I'm sure you've done three to six sessions a day when you're training at your peak for fights, right?
Yeah.
What did that look like, actually, your schedule for that?
Well, you know, I think that it was, again, it was balance, you know, like Monday through Saturday was different and Sunday was always a day off, you know, and oftentimes Monday was the day that I got started to, Monday was like the tester. How are we this week? Mm-hmm. You know, so I would go and I would do a light run and workout. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'd go do some jujitsu and some kickboxing. And then at the end of the day, I would finish with Bikram yoga, mm-hmm. you know, and that was kind of like my tester for Monday. You know, in between I was getting a nap. And I was hydrating and drinking my juice, but then I wouldn't eat dinner till night. And then Tuesday was like, no, we're going hard today. I'm going to show up at the gym. We're going to warm up. I'm going to spar. We're going to throw down. I'm going to go get sprints in later. And then I'm going to end the day with a yin yoga because Bikram is not that. You know, Bikram's right. The 90 minutes heavy sweat. And then Wednesday would be more like Monday. Thursday would be more like Tuesday. Friday would just be kind of like sparring and stretching and, you know, and I trained at the hospital, had trainers, all that kind of stuff too, you know. Yeah. So it was definitely like towards this purpose, right? This purpose of getting ready for a fight, getting into the best mentally, physically, spiritual place that I could be so that I could perform at my highest level in the fight. And the fight was just a reflection of the way that I was living my life always. And I didn't always live it perfect. Sometimes I cared about having more fun than being the best fighter,
yep.
you know. Early in my career, I wanted to be the best partier and have the most fun and win fights, you know. And that changed as I was, you know, my health changed as I got into my 30s.
If you're reflecting back, right, into those days.
Yeah.
If you were to, let's say, coach the next up and coming, you know, Conor McGregor in the UFC, would you have a similar perspective of that, the amount of recovery time that you have from those parties or those weekends, like there's going to be somebody that's exactly where you are, but choosing having better decisions. They're going to be over the next 5 years, they're going to be 10% better than what you are now.
Right.
Would you tell them to audit those habits? Would you tell them to change it? Or would you say that's just a part of it
of being young enough?
Because I literally hear that story from fighters over and over and over.
Right.
And it doesn't matter how high level they are or like up and coming. One of them currently, I don't need to call him out, but that dude parties so much.
Right.
And it's like, oh, yeah, but it's hard because the burden he's feeling and he's climbing and he's going to be a champion soon and he's going to be like Conor McGregor. I'm like, no. Somebody needs to coach him and mentor him and guide him and say, hey, look, if you want to be world class at this, if you change that habit, that one night or those two nights – it's going to take you 5 days to fully recover from that.
Right.
Those 5 days, there's somebody else chipping at it, and they're going to do that for years.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. So I know that was a long-winded way of saying.
I would never make their focus on something else or outside of themselves because somebody else is doing this.
Right.
I would say, well, how do we become the best version of yourself? And if you become the best version of yourself, nobody will beat you. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, these are the things that are going to hurt you, right? But everywhere there's a choice, and there can be good and bad depending on the balance that you have for it. Like now I'm very sober-minded. I don't drink alcohol. I like the sober mind. I'm high all often, right? Mm-hmm. From a sober mind and from this energy within the body, would I know these lessons without the things that I'd gone through? Who knows? I don't have any regrets because I had more fun than all the champions. They were like, Bergman, can we come to your table? I was like, nah, but good to see you, you know? And so, and the reason, I guess, for the sober mind, right, is that like, I think that it's easier to stay dedicated and focused and not distracted. But say somebody does have a high – let's take a woman, for example, right? Okay. A woman that is home with her children, getting them ready for school, battling them to get their clothes on, whatever it is that they're doing to raise these children. And at the end of the day, they are hyper-stressed.
Right.
There is – that hyper-stress is probably worse for them than a glass of wine.
100%.
Right? Now, somebody but if you're drinking a glass of wine in a night, it might be a bad habit that creates an addiction, mm-hmm. right?
It might be, and then, or it could be a ritual that right. actually is longevity.
Well, I don't believe so with alcohol.
Okay.
I believe that alcohol creates something in the brain that creates an addiction, and if you do it every day, mm-hmm. I don't believe addiction is positive. Okay, I think it's good to have pleasures.
Yeah.
But if your pleasure turns into a habit that you need to have, now it's an addiction.
Yes.
But I think it's okay to like relieve stress with a glass of wine and have that as a pleasure. If that's something that you need to do to deal with the stress all the time, well, then you create an addiction, and an addiction can have control over you.
Right.
You don't want anything to have control over you. You want to be able to live your life in a way that you work out and have this healthy body so that your mind is under your guidance so that you can have this spirit that gives you energy and helps you live your life. Anytime you have to grab something outside of yourself for that, that's an addiction, not a pleasure. And I think there's a big difference between that. So I would teach them that you can celebrate moments because even the gods want us to celebrate.
I love that.
So you can celebrate moments and you can celebrate accomplishments, but you shouldn't let those pleasures turn into addictions.
And I want to actually expand on what you just said. What do you mean even the gods want you to celebrate?
I mean, that's just who knows? Who knows who the – is there a god? Is there gods? Is there – I know what my god is.
No, I mean like that phrase. Like what do you mean by that?
Well, I just mean that like the gods are immortal, right?
There
like
you go.
They live forever and we're here to have a human experience. Mm. And we get to celebrate and we get to enjoy it. And it's like, well, if you're so serious that you forget to have fun and you forget to celebrate, that's not what the gods are living through us for anyway. They want to be like, be human, have fun, love, be merry, play.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what I mean.
That reminds me of that Brad Pitt movie, Troy, where he talks about that. He's like, the gods envy us because we do have that finite time on Earth. I love that.
100%.
And so as far as stress regulation goes, I know you still want to hit on that, right? Because that was kind of a little bit off topic on my part.
Right.
So what practices do you have for stress regulation outside of movement? I know.
Well, I think it's simple and I think we overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
I think that movement is yang and it is good for moving energy through the body to create a lighter body. But I think sitting still in meditation is how to calm the mind. Right. So I don't think that physical exercise is great for the mind. I think that it's actually good for the body. And I think it lightens the body. I think we should take time to sit still and to breathe and to let the mind slow down. Physical exertion is good for the body. Sitting in silence is good for the mind. And I think it's that simple.
I love that. So meditation.
Yeah, I think it's not more information. I don't think it's more movement. I don't think it's more being in a hurry. Mm. I think it's more sitting still and doing nothing while we breathe. And then you can add multiple facets of meditation to that. But even listening to a meditation podcast is not sitting still and doing nothing.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Like, even a sound bowl is not sitting still doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Only sitting still doing nothing is the original thought of meditation, a fancy word for sit still and do nothing.
And it sounds easy, but anyone who's tried meditation,
it's tough.
Especially if you've never done it before, sitting still and doing nothing seems virtually impossible.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is at the dojo and in the old gym that we had, the old gym was getting really packed. People were starting to show up, you know, and when we had nearly 100 members. You know, now we have 40 members at the new place, the dojo. And at the old place, and now this is ringing true now, meditation was our most popular class, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we would have 10 to 15 people in a normal class, and I would have 20 to 30 people in meditation every Sunday. And so obviously, you know, people want to do it. What's cool is if you have a person that's leading your group that can silence themselves and sit there and heighten their consciousness with maybe within themselves that this in the seat of silence within yourself, then this beautiful energy can come throughout the room, and it makes it a little bit easier for everybody to meditate together. And I think that, you know, I think that it's a little easier sometimes if you can find a group, but I think you can also do it by yourself. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, my awareness is like, I'm awake. Okay, now my awareness is that I'm going to breathe for a minute, and I'm just going to focus on my breath. And one little tip to meditation is that you can't think and listen at the same time. So shut your mind off and just try to listen, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that that will help you kind of sit still and do nothing.
Yeah, meditation really helped me reinforce my internal locus of control. It was during my separation with the first mother of my child. And I was overworked, like everything just kind of piled on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember practicing for a solid probably 3 to 4 months. And I would go to work, and then I would look forward to just that stillness. And I won't forget ever that awareness when I'm actually like I'm meditating.
Right.
And it was when time no longer existed. And I could go into this place of peace and nothingness and everything at the same time. It's nothing and it feels like everything. Right?
Yeah, it's empty and it's full. 100%. Yes. Yeah.
And then I would have to do it in my closet because I would need it to be super, super dark, and I would just focus on my breath. And I started listening to Deepak Chopra, and his guided meditation helped me. And then all he did was listen to your breath. That's all he said. That was right. His cue. Listen to your breath. Listen to your breath. So that I just started focusing on the inhale and exhale. And I remember leaving my closet where I lived in this apartment, and it was like 3 or 4 hours later. And I was like, how the fuck did I sit in my closet for 3 or 4 hours doing nothing? But it was restorative for my brain. And
right.
It really allowed me to make decisions that were going to ensure that not only I was taken care of because no one was looking out for me, you know,
right.
I did. I have family, but right, I'm right. saying like as far as no one wanted me to separate from, you know, from somebody
right.
I had a child with.
Yeah.
And even though it was the most toxic thing at the time.
Right.
And we knew that. And we knew the development of our kid was at stake. And it's
right.
like, I'm not going to stay together for some social construct that says that I'm less than if we do separate
yeah.
or if we do break up. And so there was a lot of external pressure I was feeling. And then I went internal to really find that inner peace.
Right.
And so I've always recommended that throughout the years. And I wouldn't say that I'm still sitting in meditation, but I do a breathwork practice every morning
mm-hmm.
that allows me to get that to that place.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the work. You know, I think that you said internal. I think there's an external martial art that's the moves and the practice and all that stuff is using energy, using life force. Mm-hmm. But when you sit still and do nothing, it's the internal martial arts, mm-hmm. you know, and there is a simple practice where you can line up a chakra or two, but there's also a very complicated one that you can line up about 114 of them, mm-hmm. right? Where you can get into the body, you can get into the ankles, you can get into the toes. And I think that that's the internal martial arts, right? Being able to go in and to be able to search yourself. And as you do that, it's very peaceful, right? Mm-hmm. It takes you into a place that can be very calming and deal with stress and all those things. Not to mention it can strengthen your essence, you know, that can also strengthen your blood, which can strengthen the ligaments and tendons, which can give you better blood, bone marrow, which can give you a healthier life and a happier existence. And I think that you know, have to balance the yin and the yang, the yin and the yang, the movement with the stillness.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And I think lastly, everything we're talking about, whether it's metabolic health, how you digest your food, how well you can actually exert yourself during fitness practices, right. and your body's ability to regulate stress, all kind of get tied into sleep. So what is your relationship with sleep? I think you have become more conscious about the rest and recovery phase of, you know, as being a professional athlete. But I, through my, you know, my mid-20s, I didn't know that too much exercise was bad. And so I pushed myself so hard that my body started catatonically breaking itself down. Right. And so my sleep started getting affected. Yeah. My cognition actually went down because I was pushing myself too much. I wasn't eating enough, and I was stressing my body out, right, through too much exertion. And so I learned that the hard way, and it was really hard for me to take a day off. You know, like, right. it's like, no, I'm going 5 days a week. I'm going hard every – and then I'm doing certain things that also are strenuous, like door-to-door sales. Like you're working, you know, 8 hours on the doors in whatever weather it's like. And so you're constantly moving, and then you get off, and then you move some more. You know what I mean? And so – there's times where I needed more rest and recovery in my life and didn't understand that. So right. for you, how did that come about?
Well, I think sleep is probably one of the most important things. I completely disagree with the thought of that I'll sleep when I die. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very ignorant statement. And I think those people probably aren't super happy when they're awake. They're just in this state of constantly moving forward, getting going. Mm-hmm. And personally, that's not a state that I would want to be in. I think that we need 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night. Mm-hmm. And I think we should take a half hour nap a day. And when I've done that, I felt better and I got work done and I was be able to create more in my life than ever before. I think that, you know, right now my wife is pregnant and she's jealous of how we sleep because I lay down, I take a few breaths and I go to bed. And when I open my eyes, I, you know, mm-hmm. do some breathing exercise. I get up and I get my kids ready and we get ready for school. And the way that it came about for me was, you know, too, if you have the right amount of physical exertion and your mind, if you are living rightly, if you're living righteously mm-hmm. in the way that your thoughts, your words, and your emotions are lined up in your actions, mm-hmm. you can rest easy every night. Mm-hmm. It's easy to go to bed. And I think that's a thing is that maybe sometimes people's thoughts and actions are not lining up and that creates conflict. And then they don't sleep as good, right? They have a hard time sleeping. Some advice for sleep would be put your phone down an hour before you go to bed. Turn your TV off an hour before you go to bed. Read a book. Don't read on your phone. Don't read on a tablet. Don't, you know, and let – because these devices create an illumination in the brain that makes you think it's daytime and creates yes. activation. Absolutely. So you need a little bit of that because, back to the point of I think sleep is the most thing to tie it all together. And this is why there's a book called Talent is Overrated. And for some reason, I picked up this book because I was very talented, but talent didn't always create what I wanted it to create, right? And in this book, they took these musical schools, Juilliard and whatever other ones they were, and they did this study over a 10-year period. And what they wanted to figure out was how these musicians were becoming the very best musicians. The highest in their class because there was a difference between the 10% and the 1%. And they wanted to figure that out. So they were like, oh, they're all going to school this many hours a day. They're all studying their music 6 hours a day. They're all practicing this. And everybody that was in that top 10% did all these things correctly. And they were like, what's the difference? What's the difference of that one person that's the best in their class? And after they did all these studies, right, it's a novel. In the last chapter, the thing that separated the 1%, the greatest musician in the class, from the other 9% was 9 hours of sleep. And the other 9% got 8-9 hours of sleep. Everybody that was in this, the top 10% got good sleep. But the 1% took a half hour nap a day. So it was 8-9 hours of sleep and a half hour nap a day separates the best 10 or the best 1% from the 10%. So the best musician was sleeping 8-9 hours a night and getting a half hour nap a day after doing everything else that they had to do to be the greatest.
It's crazy.
Sleep.
Yes. And it's those small things, those small tweaks. And in my world, in the entrepreneurial world, the less you sleep and the more you work is, you're galvanized, right? You're put on a pedestal for that. And for the longest time, that was the case. And for me, I started seeing that I fell into that. So I would overwork myself and do all those things. But I started doing the research. I started doing the studies, and I started doing my own self-assessments. And it's interesting that you say that 8 to 9 hours, because if you're getting between 4 and 6 hours of sleep as a man, it's like we have aged ourselves by 10 years. So your testosterone levels, your hormonals, everything is functioning 10 years ahead. So if you're 40 and you're doing that, you're actually 50, right? Biologically or as far as like your internal age.
Yeah.
And so there's these little things that sleep, there's not little, it's actually profound. There's a lot of very healthy things that happen with sleep, restoration. I mean, there's even toxins in our brain that build up over a day that need to get flushed out during sleep. So as far as the recommendations you have, exactly right. An hour, I would say 2 hours, avoid blue light 2 hours before sleep. That's the only difference, right? It's like, do that.
Is that what like a screen is blue light? Is that what they call it? I don't know the term.
So the blue light is the light that signals this gland or this little thing within the back of our iris that connects to a part of our brain called the SNE sensor. Uh-huh. And that's the sensor that when you're trying to regulate your circadian rhythm, you got to get outside as soon as it wakes up so you can get back into a normal sleeping pattern. So these sleeping types, this owl, lion, tiger type of like, no, you're more creative at 2 a.m. It's like all of that is not correct.
Right.
You don't have a chronotype. What you have is a dysfunction in your circadian rhythm. There's no reason as a human on this planet that we shouldn't have what's called dinurial patterns, night and day cycles.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your body cannot get into a synthetic form of deep sleep outside of 10 p.m. to about 3 a.m.
Right. Yeah, that's you when can't the REM sleep yep. comes, right?
You can't mimic
that. So you're
that.
Saying, because I've heard this argument that some people say they're supposed to be awake at night.
It's bullshit.
There's owls and there's...
Bullshit.
Yeah. It is. Interesting.
It's bullshit.
I didn't agree because I'm like, I don't get it. I sleep so good at night.
Bullshit because there's – tell me about – okay, if we're not talking – if we're talking about evolution, give me an example where you would need to be awake at 2 a.m. What would you be doing at 2 a.m., let's say, outside of civilized community? And I'm talking about evolutionary psychology, right? If we were in hunter-gatherer tribes, it's like, no, you're restoring during those time periods.
Yeah.
And you're out there exerting yourself, hunting as a man, during the day.
Right.
And you're not hunting. All animals kind of follow a similar path. All mammals follow a similar path of night and day cycles. So circadian rhythm, right, has to do with your sleep cycle. If you're staying up during the crucial hours that our body has a 90-minute sleeping window. Right. So it takes about 90 minutes to go into that REM sleep, that restorative, everything you're talking about, those 8 hours. It's like it doesn't happen over 8 consistent hours. It goes like this, right? And every 90 minutes, and that makes sense to me from evolutionary place. It's 100%. Like, I can't be in REM sleep if there's you know, predators around trying to kill me, or even, you know, other humans trying to harm me or my family. So anyways, as far as sleep goes, blue light, avoid that 2 hours before sleep, right? If you're avoiding, again, nutritionally, you're eating whole foods, you know, as closely to the natural state as possible, then it's helping you. If you're eating too much carbohydrates at the end of the day, what are you doing? You know, carbs are giving you that energy. They're increasing your blood sugar. They're going
to
affect
your sleep. It's hard to sleep if you're too full.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're okay being numb.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And two, I think it's important, an imbalanced diet can create insomnia, right? It can create bad sleep. It's not that you need to go get an Ambien, right? What you really need is you need to go and fix your diet. Back to, you know, why do we eat what we eat? Why is nutrition important? You know, it's staple of health and wellness and sleep and activation and recovery for sure.
And to your point, like when you said, you know, I can go eat this and I'm going to be fine. And that's great because, you know, a metabolically fit person is good at processing whatever comes through their body, right? And so, but it's all energy at the end of the day. So if it's like, I'm going to eat a big meal from, I don't even know what the fuck they call it, but whatever a huge meal.
Chuck-a-rama.
I know that day, a lot of my energy is going to go to processing that food and excreting it out, you know, and detoxing and all that stuff. And so it's you're picking your battles. You're choosing where your energy is going. And
probably a good way to fast the next day.
Yes. And I love going through that, like that throughout the day. And people are like, that's exhausting. I'm like, no. I love it. I love knowing what my day looks like. I've been fasting since 7:30 p.m. last night. I'm on an intermittent fast. I'm drinking tea and coconut water, right? Like that. But it feels good. I feel great. My mind is clear when I'm speaking. I hope I'm speaking with clarity as well. And I understand that. So there's certain times where it's like, okay, we're on vacation. We're going to have different decisions, right? I might have a shot of tequila. I might have, you know, something like that. But as far as overall, I'm optimizing my energy is really what we're doing at the end of the day. It's like, how much energy can we put into these different things? And Josh has seen how quickly I can execute and do things and how much time I put into certain things. And it takes a lot of energy.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know, and if I'm getting drunk every night or eating, you know.
We wouldn't be doing this.
We wouldn't be doing it. So sleep is important. And I think ultimately to tie everything back in as far as what it means to be a man is we have high levels of testosterone. And over the last 50 years, we have something like 30, 40% less or even 50% less testosterone than our grandparents had. Right. And there's many reasons for that. But if you dial into these different things, whole foods.
Mine's 1,100, bro. I don't know what you're talking about.
Really? When's last time you tested? I was like, when's
the last time you tested? About a year ago. Nice. But no, I mean, I guess probably about 6 months ago.
Nice.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I make it a constant thing to make sure I get my levels tested, my blood tests, stuff like that. Just to know. You know, especially being a pro athlete at one point in my life, I like to know where I'm at, you know, and I've also been really low at times in my life when I had injuries and
I can see, like I can that, see you because there's a physical expression of testosterone. You have a good amount of muscle density right now. And I'm sure you haven't been exerting yourself as, you know, you were when you were preparing for a fight.
Yeah, I'm not cutting to 155.
Right.
Yeah.
And so
and it's winter.
I could still say you're in a good level of testosterone, but could still always optimize that if you wanted
to. Absolutely. And I was totally joking. I'm 100% in agreeance that as a society, our testosterone, I don't have to be in agreeance. It's science, right?
Exactly. And as far as what that means as a man, it's the energy and the reason, I mean, when we look down at sex and why women are receiving and they're not giving, right? In the form of penetration, right? There's that penetrative, action-oriented, executing energy that comes with high levels of testosterone. Like, when you look around, if you're in any big city, look around you. Men built that city. Men constructed the skyscrapers. Manpower.
Right.
And if we had a fuel for manpower, that would be our testosterone. So that is one of the first things I look into when I'm helping anybody dialing into nutrition, especially as men. And testosterone is good for women too. to a certain degree, not a lot, but
they
obviously
have it, balance. They have it also. They just need a little more estrogen.
Yes, exactly.
We have estrogen also. We just need more testosterone.
We just need more testosterone.
And that's not the case. There's a lot of men out there with a little more, a little more estrogen.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's, I think ultimately if we're measuring weight, if your weight's dialed in, if you're metabolically, you can go from ketones to glucose, you know, whether that's in high carbohydrates, your body can process that out, or high fats, your body can process that. It switches between both fuels. You have great sleep, but you're, you know, everything else is dialed in, but your testosterone's low, then we got to look at other things, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's really important that if you, as an indirect method of increasing testosterone, if you're dialed in on sleep, if you're dialed in on nutrition, if you're dialed in on stress regulation, because chronic stress is rampant.
Yeah. I mean, meditation, taking breath deep into the belly all the way into the balls is a huge way to build essence, which is just testosterone, you know? So it's a big, I mean, all the things that we've talked about are the key to having good testosterone levels, but also being able to move that testosterone correctly so it doesn't build up into anger or anything like that. You know, I think for me, I teach in a way of martial arts and Chinese medicine. And in Chinese medicine, the three treasures are nutrition, breath and movement, and sexual energy, sex. And how you manage that, that sex is in the body, not in the mind, you know, and I think that those are also the ways, that's how we build our essence, well, for a man, that's how we have strong levels of testosterone and balanced energies of estrogen in the body.
And one of the signs that your testosterone's low, to what you're saying, another little miracle around testosterone is testosterone makes you enjoy challenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Testosterone makes you enjoy getting punched in the mouth, so to speak, and overcoming hard things. So if you have – if you're, you know, in this comfortable place or this place of comfort and low resistance and low challenge and you've been there for years or too many months, I would bet that it's testosterone levels.
Right. Yeah. I think that, you know, and everybody go out and get them checked. You know, you can – and your testosterone level is what we call life force or what we call essence, right? And there's a lot of ways, if it's low, to be able to raise it back up. But once – and it's almost the essence of the body. It's the thickness of the essence in the sperm within the body. And when that starts to get thin and it starts to deplete, there, once it's gone, it's gone. There is no recharging of it. But when it's thin and low, there's still an ability to be able to recharge it. But it takes that, all the practices that we've been talking about, you know, and even when I retired from MMA, from fighting, man, I was low and I was tired and I was injured. And that's why I had to retire. But I also knew that I'd healed myself before and I'd I could do it again, you know. And 2 years later, I am a much stronger human with higher levels of testosterone and more energy. And you never, ever give up on the body, you know, but you might have to change your diet. You might have to change your breath and movement patterns. And you might have to make love to your wife multiple times in the week without getting off to hold that energy within the body.
Semen retention.
You know, and there's so many practices. You know, it's like we've been lied to about how to love. We've been lied to and misdirected about how to hold these energies within the body, you know, and we're going to get into that definitely
100%.
One time. Because I think 100%. It's important to reteach men how to make love.
Oh,
to
God.
Reteach them how to take the strength within their body. Because what you said, we give energy out and women receive it naturally, but you got to know how to give it – hold it within yourself and move it through the meridians in the body to make yourself as strong as you can so you don't peak at 25, so you peak at 50. And if you don't know how, watch, because I'm doing it.
Yes, and semen – and he's doing it by leading by example, and that's why it's so important to be conscious of who you're taking advice from. And semen retention, as far as I know now with an actual physical tangible study, it says about 3 to 4 days is how long you want to go in between releasing your semen,
right?
As a man. So if you're having sex every day with your wife, then you're retaining that semen 3 to 4 times before you release it.
I believe and that it
– the higher it goes, the longer you hold, the more energy you have.
Absolutely. It's like marinating steak. You know what I mean? Like when you hold on to your orgasm – and then you can move it up the body, then it can marinate through the through the limbs.
I love you that. You just made the analogy.
100%.
That was contextually the best message of the day. You took that, bro.
You're marinating the body with your essence. Yeah. And if you're always giving it out through being forward thinking and task oriented, yep, and getting off and competing, you're constantly depleting your life force, your sexual energy. But if you're doing the opposite, then you're storing it. Even sitting in meditation, it's one of the few ways to be able to store and harness sexual energy. I don't believe that 3 to 4 days is the same practice a 22-year-old should use as a 40-year-old. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think that at 25 years old, I probably could have got off a little bit more than maybe I should at 50 for the general public.
That makes sense.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yep. I think that your age matters, yes, and your energy level matters. Yes. I think at 22, you know, you could probably, you know, every 2 days, 3 days, depending on, you know, if you're in a loving relationship.
I agree.
I think that when you're 40, maybe it should be once to every 5 to 7 days.
Yeah.
But I also think it matters in who you're sharing your energy. If, yes, you're sharing your energy with one person or with multiple people, I think that there's not a one fits all. I think,
exactly,
you need to understand.
Context matters. Yep.
And I think that the more that you're in a monogamous relationship, the more that sexual energy can be charged between those two people to help you strengthen it.
Yeah.
I think that if you're in plural sexual relation, like multiples, right, then you should be very clear what everybody else is doing, because that can also deplete you.
We're going to have a whole other topic. Yeah, a whole other
podcast
on that.
But testosterone and how you manage it ties into everything that we discussed today. For sure, I agree.
Yeah, I love that. And so these are basic – these are really basic practices that we're talking about. Again, my thesis over researching, studying, analyzing other people, we're focusing too much on optimization, too much on nootropics, too much on how do I enhance. It's like, let's get the basics right first, and then let's build on top of that. And a lot, like I said, a lot of us are in a deficit. A lot of you guys are in a deficit. Let's get you back to zero. You're in -5. Let's get you to zero. Then let's start talking about how to get +5. Let's talk about 100%. Optimization.
Absolutely.
And so these things are going to help you get to balance. And then we're going to start, you know, sharing with our community things that are going to optimize, you know, all of this, optimize mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. Sexuality is really big on that too. But again, if you have ED, which is huge in men under, even in within their 20s.
What's ED?
Erectile dysfunction.
Oh, no wonder. I didn't know.
You sat that shit up. you know, then we're looking at diet. We're looking at how much you're moving. We're looking at your stress. We're looking at your sleep first. Before we're prescribing or anyone's going to tell you to take Viagra, or you have a flaccid penis, something is off. And we got to dial in on that. Again, before you take the pharmaceutical drugs that are just going to worsen the situation, there's too many men that are having that. And it's getting increasingly lower and lower. Now, you know, people in their men in their mid-20s, and that should never be a thing.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. Do you want to end with anything else?
The last thing I want to just end with real fast is, like Josh just said it. These are all the things that we want to help you guys with. You know, and by the way that I've lived my life, I prove that what I am talking about, I live it, right? Like a lot of people want the science behind everything so they can validate what they're teaching. I don't need the science. I live it and I internalize it and I can help, right? And with that being said, we're getting ready to do a workshop coming up. When are we going to do that?
You said May, right?
May. So stay tuned, because we're going to do a workshop and it's going to be a weekend gathering. And we're going to tie in all these things to it. This is how we're going to help. The podcast is just to help us grow this brotherhood. So in May, we're going to get together. We're going to hike up Mount Olympus. We're going to do martial arts. We're going to shoot some guns. We're going to do some meditation, some ice baths. And then we're going to sit around and we're going to have discussions around these topics. So stay tuned for our first workshop coming up in May. It's only going to be 15 to 20 men. And this is about growing a brotherhood. And it's like what Josh and I said before, we are doing this because we want to help ourselves and we want to help our communities and our brothers be better, stronger, and happier.
100%. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Wolfpack, we appreciate your attention and your awareness. We'll see you guys next time.
Peace.